We are in lesson 5, and I'm going to be talking about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and how that tree was a very beautiful tree and how it caused death. Now, I think it will be very simple for you to understand how this took place and what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil actually is in the light of the fall of Satan. You know, Satan fell, and what killed Satan was a certain belief system. And what he came to do was to sell that very same belief system unto man. And the same thing that would happen to him would happen to man. Man would die. And man would, the dream that God had for man would not be accomplished should that tree had its full effect on man. So we're going to look at the first slide there. We're going to look at the beauty of this tree and where this tree was planted. It says in Genesis 2 verse 9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Genesis 3, 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant for the eye, and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So we can see clearly here that God made some beautiful trees, and there was also this tree there, a beautiful tree, but we were not supposed to eat of that. Now, that tree is a certain belief system that brings forth death. I also think that that tree can be likened to the ability of man. We must realize that in the garden, the trees that was there is not physical trees. They are telling a story. They are trying to communicate something to us. So there are many things that was in the garden that could make a person wise, or that one can eat from, and it was beautiful and it was good for food. It could feed you. But this one thing, one should never have eaten of that, because it cannot feed you. It will destroy your life. And that is the knowledge of good and evil, which is the belief system that a man can be saved, or a man can have eternal life by his ability. It's when you look at human ability and you want to partake of it. It's when you take everything that God has given to you, you take the beauty and the power that God has given you inside you, and you want to use that to bring life to yourself. That is what it is. And I'm going to show it to you as well. And we're going to look at what this tree of the knowledge of good and evil is also in the life of Paul. Now, one thing we need to understand about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is it is a beautiful tree. It is not something that is not beautiful. It is something that stands for what is good and right and all those kind of things. We should just not try and make use of it. When God made man, he made man to have emotions and feelings, and he made man to have belief. He made man that man could be the recipient of the love of God, and that the love of God through our emotions, through our belief and all those kind of things can actually manifest in this world. God had to make a very awesome being in order to be the representative of God in the earth and also the friend of God. He couldn't be a stupid being. He couldn't be, he had to be smart. He had to have a lot of abilities, and all those abilities was there to be the place or the seat of the love of God, from where the love of God would flow. But the moment God would come and, or man would come and make use of those abilities, like emotion, we have emotions, but the moment And the reason we have emotions is so that we can give expression to the love that God has for us. But the moment we use emotion to work ourselves up to have life in this world, we've abused the very thing that God has given. And emotion is beautiful. Knowledge is beautiful. Understanding is beautiful. All those things are beautiful. But the moment we use that to have life by it, we will be in trouble. And we're going to look at that in depth today. Right, let's go to the next slide there. Genesis 2:17 says the following. It says, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. And God said, Behold, man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, let us put him out of the garden. I didn't copy and paste that in there. Now, before I read the last part of that slide, I want to discuss this. What God said to Adam and Eve was that don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. And then he went on and he said something very significant that explains to us what this tree of the knowledge of good and evil is, or what the condition is of a person that has eaten of this tree, or where a person actually eats of that tree. Because how do you know if you've eaten of that tree or not? And here we can clearly see when a person has eaten of that tree. And here we come, and I want to read the last part of that slide quickly to you. What the scripture means when it says that man has become like one of us. The Targum Onkelos says it this way, to avoid the phrase as one of us, and it renders it as is become one from himself. He's become a God from himself. Now that is amazing. So when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it's when you are at the place where you have become a God from yourself. Now God calls us gods. If you go and read in Psalm, I think Psalm 82, it says we are gods. Now, but the God that we are is not a God by himself. We are gods, or humans are gods. They have rulership, they have dominion. They are in the image and likeness of, or the image of God at least. You know, they are, we are the God kind. We are his offspring. In him we live and move and have our being and all of those things. But it's all on account of God. But these beings became gods in themselves from themselves. And I want to read that Targum Onkelos again. It says here, it takes that phrase where it says, as one of us, and it renders it, it says, I don't want to use that. That's what that translation does. And it renders it as, is become one from himself. So what this talks about is a being that has become a God being, but the source is his own ability. That is the source. And God said, lest he put his hand to the tree of life and eat of it and live forever, let us put him out of the garden. Now, a person whose life is born from his own ability, where he will be a God from his own ability, is a being that will always have strife, that will always have pain, that will always have sorrow. And God, in his kindness and in his goodness, decided to put man out of the garden so that man would not eternally live in that state of torture. I also believe when God says, I will not allow you into the garden to eat of the tree of life, it wasn't him putting man physically out of a garden with a gate and all those kind of things. I think what God is trying to communicate through that is simply this. God said, look at man. He is a being that is a God unto himself and from himself. He is just like one of us. We are beings that have got life in ourselves. We are Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are God. And they have got life inside themselves. And they've got eternal life from that life which is inside himself. He's the self-existing one. And now they became self-existing ones. Just like us. But the problem is that man doesn't have life inside himself. He doesn't have eternal life in him. He is not God. He was a created being. And what God basically said was, man has removed himself from this power that gives him life. And since man has now done that, he is one like us, by himself, and we are not going to feed that with life. We are not going to grant eternal existence to that. And what God was actually saying is, we were the people, I'm the being that keeps him alive. So since he's done that, I'm not going to continue to give him life. Why? Because he willfully removed himself from this life. And God was not going to, just by his sovereign power, give that being life. He's not going to do that. And thank God for that. Imagine how wicked a person can become if he continues to live in the law and he can never die. It would be hell. And it would be a continual conscious torment. And look at the wonderful love of God that he said that he will not allow such a being to exist forever. Glory to God. But what he promises is that I will deliver man from that which he has been bound in and give him the opportunity to freely choose my life again. Now, when it comes to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's two ways to look at this. The one way we can look at it is basically like this. It's the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. Now, the knowledge of good would be God, where you have knowledge of God. And then, I'm just talking about knowledge, you know, just knowing. And then knowledge of evil would be to have knowledge of labors or hard work. Do yourself a favor and go and study. I don't have a slide for that today, but do yourself a favor. Go and study the Greek Old Testament and just look in the Septuagint the word evil there, and you will see that word evil means to be full of labor, hard work, or also annoyance. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would be this, and I believe this is one way of looking at it, where you can look at God and how good God is, and then you look at your own ability and you think that I'm going to copy God. And as I copy God and do all the good that God does, since he is the blueprint of a beautiful life, then I will have eternal life. And the source would be my ability to do God or to copy God. That would be a way of looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I think it's also a very accurate way of looking at what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve looked at the tree. They looked at their own ability. They looked at what their own ability promised. And what their own ability promised was, you can be just like God. Look at how intelligent you are. Look at how good you feel. Look at your own willpower. Look at what was accomplished in this garden by your authority. How difficult can it be to be a God in yourself, from yourself, by just following the life of God and living like God? The reason why I say the knowledge of good is God, because there's no one good but God. The knowledge of good and evil. Another way of looking at it, and one day it came to my mind as I was studying that, the Bible says that God created things and he said that everything is good. And so you look at the very good inside you and you just work the good inside you, which comes from God, which God brought forth. And as you work the good and you behold the good and you just continue in the good, you just do good all the time, then you will have eternal life instead of relying upon God to give you life. You can remember in the teaching where I spoke about the fall of Satan, we see that Satan was a wonderful big tree in the garden of God, and he was great because of the water that made him great. That's in Ezekiel 37. The water made him great. He was not great because of himself. The water made him great. And then when he saw all of the greatness and all of the wonder and splendor and dominion and beauty that the water brought forth in his life, he all of a sudden had his heart lifted up in his stature. In other words, his belief or the persuasion of his heart, from where he has life. Remember, the Bible says, out of the heart issues life, or your life comes forth from your heart. His heart was lifted up in his stature. In other words, he didn't find his life anymore in the water or the water of the word that God spoke over him, what God says about him. But his belief was established in what the water accomplished in his life or what the water gave him. And the moment that happened, he had the knowledge of good, the knowledge of the good in his life, and he was just thinking that he's going to work this, and by that, he is who he is. And that is when you become a God, like this Turgum Onkelos says here, it is when he becomes one from himself. And that's what Satan did. And Satan fell because he believed, there was a certain thing he believed, and now he was presenting man with the very same thing, the very same belief system. Now let us go and just look at this in a more practical way, and we're going to look at this from the life of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. We're going to define what it is to have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in your life. Romans 7 verse 9 says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good." Do you see it is beautiful? "If then I do that which I would not, I consent that unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do." Let's read verse 19 again, and there you see the words good and evil. It says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." So you clearly see there good and evil. And here is another way of seeing good and evil. Good and evil in the life of Paul, and how I believe Paul came and connected this passage even with a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was simply found in verse 9, where he says, "I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." What does the Bible say? The Bible clearly says, now what does God say to Adam and Eve? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, don't partake of a thing where you will have experiential knowledge of what it is to want to do good, but you will not be able to do it. And you will experience what it is not to be able to do it and the consequences of not doing it. That is what Adam was saying. That is what Paul was saying there. I believe that is where he got all of this from. If you read the writings of Paul and you also go and you study out the first and second book, and just go and read the first and second book of Adam and Eve, you will see that the Apostle Paul, either if it was written by then or because of oral tradition, really had a lot of things he wrote that came from that knowledge. So here we see that Paul comes and he quotes things that you can, if you go and read that first and second, do yourself a favor. It's about 150 pages, but go and read the first and second book of Adam and Eve. Don't say you have to believe everything that's in there, but you will see as you look at that where Paul came to some of the logic that he had. And some of the conclusions that he had. A lot of what Paul wrote comes from Greek philosophy, where he was correcting Greek philosophy, and because he was also trained up in Greek philosophy. So a lot of that comes from that, where he corrects that, and a lot of it comes from oral traditions and things that are outside of Bible material that was available to them back then, which they shared and discussed with one another. So, what Paul is coming to say here, he says, "I was alive, but I died." When did he die? He says, "I died when the commandment came." Now, what is the commandment? He says, the commandment is very beautiful. The commandment is holy and just and good. And when I thought that I could not desire, and Paul, the context here is the 10th commandment, when Paul thought that he could resist and not desire and just do the 10th commandment, he said he all of a sudden found that sin revived in him and that he died. So what Paul is saying is, there's an intrinsic good person here called the Apostle Paul. I am good. There's nothing bad about me. I'm not wicked. I'm a good being. You need to realize that man is not bad. Man is not a sinner. Man is good. God made nothing bad. You are not evil. Man is good. Every part of man is good. But man became a victim of a lie. So here Paul comes and he says, when he had knowledge of the law, then, and as he tried to obey the law, the good that he was died. Paul died. The real Paul died, and something else started to live in him. And this is what happened to him. He was tempted to find life by obedience to the law. Because if you read the law, it is beautiful. It's desirable to make one wise. It looks as if it's good for food. It can feed you every day. Just one little law message every day, you know, on a WhatsApp or on a Facebook message. That's all we need, you know, just that daily encouragement on what I need to do. That's all we need. It looks so desirable to make you wise. But as you start to partake of that, you come to a place where you have knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge there means experiential knowledge of good and evil. So, when you have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is when you've come to the place, and this is what God didn't want us to have, where we have experiential knowledge of what it is to know what is good, and we know we have experiential knowledge of how not to do that and how not to get that right, the good that we want to do, and then we experience that something else comes and lives in us. So what God was actually saying to Adam and Eve, he says, Adam and Eve, I never want you to have experiential knowledge of what it is to want to do good and never be able to do that good and suffer the consequences, the death in your emotions, the death inside you when you are at that place. I don't want you to have that. Now, in conclusion to the first part, and then I'm just going to read one more slide and we're going to end off with that. It is when you realize the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is this. It is a belief that says, I can have the life of God by my ability. That is all. It is when you look at your own ability and what God has accomplished in your life, and you use that to have life from it. In other words, you don't believe in what God tells you. The conclusion and the final the bottom line conclusion you make about your life is found in what is accomplished in your life. And when you start to see that, in my case, it would be something like this. Bertie, you can preach the gospel. You've got a good understanding of the scriptures, and all you need to do is preach the word. And as you preach the word, you can have life from that. You can find your identity and how good you, your emotions can be found in how many people like your stuff and all that, because it's going well with you. So if you just look at all those things, then you can find your life in that. And you know, it will come with things like, this is what you can do to even do better. And as you start to put your belief in that and not in God as the source of your life, you find this death starts to take place. And then Hubertus will die. I will not be who I am anymore. And I will find someone else living inside my body because I've died. And I would find every part of me starting to die and waste away. I'll start to see how the ministry wastes away. I'll start to see how I come to the grave. How, like with Satan, how worms will be all around me to completely destroy my life. That's what will take place. And I'll come to the knowledge of that. And God says, I don't want you to have that experiential knowledge. Yet the Bible says that we can discern good and evil. And let us look at that in Hebrews 5 verse 11. It says in Hebrews 5 11, of whom we have many things to say, and it's hard to utter, seeing that we are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've become such are in need of milk and not of strong meat. It says in Hebrews 5:13 there, for everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to him that are of full age, and even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, that does not say that we must, that because some people interpret that the Holy Spirit actually gives us power to obey the law. But that's not what it means. What that passage means is this. When we know good and evil, it is when we've come to a place where we've had a wrong belief, and we are where Paul was in Romans 7, where he says, the good that I want to do, I can't do it, and the evil that I don't want to do, that I do, I'm a wretched man, I'm dying. Now, to believe in a legalistic, law-based system is evil, and good is to believe in God. Now, when we as people who are skilled in the word of righteousness, in other words, we are not believing in our own works, we don't find our identity in our own ability, we have the ability, when we really believe in the good news, to discern good and evil. In other words, we will easily be at a place where we can see in everyday life and in everything in this life that, man, this thing is a law-based system that will not bring life, and this thing is from God. I can see that all the time. I can see it with preachers. You can easily see when somebody does something and this is law, and it's going to destroy his life. And you can easily see when somebody has got a persuasion in his heart, when it is God living in him, and how it will produce life. We can easily discern when something's even working very well for somebody. We can see this is will worship, and it is not God. We have that ability. So Paul comes and he says, I wish you guys were at the place where you could discern good and evil. I wish you were skilled in the word of righteousness, where you knew how righteous you are, how you've been united with God, to the point that you can discern and say, this is law and this is grace. That is all that it is. So we who have, in other words, what I'm trying to say is this. When the Bible talks about the knowledge of good and evil and having experiential knowledge of good and evil, and when it talks about discerning between good and evil, it is not the same good and evil. The good and evil that is talked about in the knowledge of good and evil is to have experiential knowledge of what it is to have a life born from the law. But discernment between good and evil is where you can discern, this is of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and this is the tree of life, and I'm a partaker of life because I've been born from life. Glory to God. So we also need to understand, and I want to end off with the last slide there, that in the fall, when we fell, this became true. When Adam and Eve fell, it says that their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So when we come to the place where we have experiential knowledge of the tree of good and evil, what happened to Adam and Eve was they got veiled. And even until this day, by the reading of the law, people are veiled. And this was written even after grace. If you read the law, if you are at the place where you have your ability as the foundation for your righteousness or your life or eternal life, you are veiled. It veils you. By the reading of the law, you are veiled. And one of the things that's veiled is who God is. You cannot see who God is. And from that perspective, we find Old Testament people write horrendous things about God. We find people today in the earth say horrendous things about God. Why? Because from guilt and from death, they are trying to interpret who God is. So, in conclusion, when man fell, and I'm just going to do this in 2 minutes. When man fell, it was when Adam believed and he became one of us, or he became a God being from himself. He became a God being from himself. And I'm just reading that quickly here. It says, it's become one of us from himself. The moment you become a being from your own ability, that is when you have experiential knowledge of good and evil. Then you will want to do the good, but you will not be able to do the good. And you will come to the revelation of your nakedness, and you will be ashamed. From that shame, you will not be able to see who you are, and you will also not be able to see who God is. And from not seeing, you will live a life where you will preach God, share God, have knowledge of God, which is completely false. You will see God as a taskmaster. You will see God as a God that is the source of your pain and your destruction. Like Adam and Eve, you know, when they were put out of the garden, if you read the first and second book of Adam and Eve, you will see that Adam blamed God for his misery. He said, "This is God. It is God." Whenever something bad would happen, if something would catch fire or something bad would happen, they would say, "It is God punishing us." And from that perspective, we find through traditions, people in that darkness couldn't see God for who He really was. And that's why Jesus came, to bring the truth and also to be the very image of God in the earth. Glory to God. So, in conclusion, let us not have a life that is based on our abilities, not even the good that God has given us. And when Adam and Eve fell, they just partook of the logic of Satan, and Satan partook of a wrong belief. In other words, there was a wrong belief, a belief that I am what I do. Satan, which was a beautiful being, died by this. And he now became the murderer of man, not by himself killing man, but just introducing them to this very deadly thing. So, in order for the salvation plan to take place, God had to come and bring man to a place where he is not believing in "I must become" anymore, but in an "I am." And when he can see his union with God, then salvation can come to that man by the Holy Spirit. Well, that's enough for this session. I want to thank you guys so much. Please feel free to write send your questions to the email address that you have for this discipleship program, and I would gladly answer that. And I will see you then again on Wednesday. God bless.